My life's in you, my strength's in you, my hope's in you, in you.
This is a presentation of the Durham Church of Christ in Durham, North Carolina. We are located at 5224 Wake Forest Highway. If you are ever in the Durham area, we hope that you will come by and visit.
Well, good afternoon. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. I will meet you there in just a moment. You may remember a few weeks back, we started a series called Faith Book, where we would begin examining various characters throughout the Bible and reconnect with some familiar Bible friends, just do some character studies and understand some events that would have taken place in the lives of these Bible characters. And we began studying Abraham, and we noticed Abraham and focused especially on the offering that he gave to God regarding his son Isaac. We studied that, and we noticed various status updates that he would have maybe had throughout that process. If you're not familiar with Facebook, you have no idea what I'm talking about. And really, I don't use Facebook. We use it for the congregation, and Hannah and I have one, but nobody knows what it is because it's a funny name and no one's ever really going to find it. And we have that for a reason. But anyway, we know what a status update is, and if you don't know what it is, what it is you basically will alert to those who are connected with you as to what it is you are doing. Now, it can be carried away at times. People can post an update that they're going through the drive-thru or that they just sneezed, and someone else will write back and say, excuse you, or something like that. It really can get pretty intense, but we're not going to do that. We're just going to look at some status updates that the character Cornelius would have made during the time of Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, we see an account of a conversion of one who was a God-fearer. In other words, one who was a Gentile, one who was a foreigner, a stranger, one who was not in a covenant relationship with God because of circumcision. But he was, probably because of his name and because of what we see in verse 1 of chapter 10, an Italian, someone who came from a heathen land and a heathen nation. And we're going to notice various updates that he might have made during this conversion account. And we're going to begin by seeing that Cornelius was seeking. Let's look at verses 1 through 4 together. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God alway. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. What does it mean, their memorial before God? Well, some have suggested that that's in reference to the promise that God made to Abraham in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 18, that through the seed of Abraham, all nations of the earth would be blessed. Well, God's people have already heard the gospel, that is the Jews, and we understand that the gospel was to be preached to the Jews first, but also to the Greek, Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. And so here, this man Cornelius is seeking a relationship with God, seeking to be right with God. And we understand that because of the descriptive terms that are given to us in verse 2. We see that he was a devout man. That means he was dedicated. He wasn't here or there. He wasn't wishy-washy. He wasn't one day faithful, the next day unfaithful. He was devout. But notice likewise, he feared God. That is, he had a reverent respect for God, Jehovah, God Almighty. Not only did he fear God, but he did so with all his household. That means he taught his household. He was a headsman. He headed his home. He led his home to fear God just as he was doing. But he also gave to the people. He was interested in those who were in need, and he gave alms as it was needful. And he also prayed to God. But notice verse 22. We see some more descriptions. He was a just man. That is, he was honest. He was honest. He was just. He did not deal in a dishonest fashion with others. And because of this, because of all that we see here, we understand then that it makes sense that it would go on to say in verse 22 that he was of good report among all the nation of the Jews. He had a good reputation. Now, we might stop here and say, well, Cornelius, he's right with God. He doesn't need to seek God. He doesn't need to pursue a relationship with God. He's doing all he needs to do. He's praying to God. He's giving to the poor. He's fearing God. He's teaching his household to fear God. He's just. He's an honest man. He's doing an honest day's labor and work. He's a good guy. He's right with God. But we understand when we look at chapter 11 and verse 14 of Acts that he was not saved. And that is why this angel would appear unto him. That is why Cornelius was seeking continuously, because a covenant relationship with God did not exist. And Jesus has told us that if we desire a relationship with God, if we desire something badly enough, that we'll get it. He tells us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." Well, that's exactly what Cornelius is going to have presented to him. Here he has been seeking God. And he's been doing so with a very religious and a very devoted attitude. But when God then presents to him an opportunity to act upon that which he is seeking, let's see how he responds. We see the second status update for Cornelius is he is sending. Well, you might remember what this angel tells him to do. We're going to see in verse 5 of Acts chapter 10. "And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa." It's interesting that Cornelius responded the way he did when we consider how some within the world today respond. Cornelius could have said, well, an angel has spoken to me. And because an angel has spoken to me, I have no need of pursuing any more clarification in my relationship with God. I have been approached by an angel, therefore I'm good. I'm right with God. No, that's not what Cornelius did. Cornelius likewise could have said, well, the angel wants me to send people to Joppa. The angel wants me to call for one named Peter so I can be told what I ought to do. Now, wait a second. Who are you, angel? Don't you know that I fear God? Don't you know that I'm devout? Don't you know that I'm an honest man? Why would I need to be told what I need to be doing? I'm doing what I need to be doing. But that's not what he did. Likewise, Cornelius could have argued with the angel because he really wished to have gone through this process in another way. Maybe he didn't want to call for Peter in order to be taught the gospel. Maybe he just wanted the angel to teach him the gospel. He could have argued with that, with the angel. It reminds us of Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5. When Naaman said, "Behold, I thought you were going to tell me a different thing I ought to do as to how I can be cleansed." But that's not what Cornelius did. Cornelius sent the men. Why did he send men? In order to receive men so that he could be taught by those men what he needed to do. Well, the reason being is because God has had it to be that the gospel would be preached by men. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, Paul writes this, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Verse 6 says, "He has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." That is given by earthen vessels, by man. No one is going to understand how to be saved and how to be right with God by any other means other than by man. Here God had a prime opportunity to use an angelic being to teach someone how to be saved and right with Him. But that's not what God chose to do. God chose to use that angelic being to order and command that the one wanting to be right with God would call upon men so that those men could teach him the gospel. The gospel is to be proclaimed by men. And men are saved by the preaching of the gospel by other men. That is how God has chosen to communicate His message of salvation. Cornelius began by seeking. But then when he was commanded to send, he was sending. But we see that he also, his third status update, was submitting. Let's drop down here to verse 24 of Acts chapter 10. And the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, he had called together his kinsmen and near friends. Let's go to verse 33. Immediately, therefore, this is him speaking to Peter here, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Notice the humility of Cornelius. Here this man had influenced his family to fear God, his household to fear God. But when Cornelius is told that he is going to be told something that he ought to be doing, he doesn't become prideful and hide it from his family and not want to involve them in this process, but rather he is humble enough to indeed involve them so that they too might learn the truth and might know how to be right with God. He wasn't too prideful to admit that indeed he was not right with God and needed to be told what to do. But likewise, we see that he was ready to receive the Word of God. Notice there what he says to Peter in verse 33. We're all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. First of all, again, in regards to salvation, it's interesting that he is stating that he wants to hear the things commanded thee of God. Some folks will get the idea that when they enter into maybe a stressful time in their life, or maybe they go through some type of catastrophe or crisis, that it is at that point that they then receive salvation and they are then right with God. That there is no hearing that needs to take place regarding the gospel, but that they felt a certain feeling in the midst of car wreckage and an automobile accident and thought that because of a feeling that they had and thoughts that they had, that all of a sudden it was at that point that they were right with God. But that's not what Cornelius is doing. Cornelius is having to hear something in order to be right with God. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Folks, we're not going to gain a relationship with God. We're not going to grow closer to God by intuition. We're not going to do so by going out into the wilderness and camping. We're not going to do so by driving down the highway with our windows down. We're going to do so when we read the book and apply it to our lives. That is how we grow in faith. And that is what Cornelius was doing. He wanted to be right with God. He wanted a relationship with God. And in order to do so, he had to hear the gospel. But notice likewise, he is ready to hear the gospel. He is ready to do so. James tells us if we want to receive the gospel, we have to be ready. James 1 verse 21, James writes, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Put aside that sin, put aside everything else and say, I'm ready to receive your word, God. I am meek, I am humble, I'm ready to be instructed, I'm ready to be taught. That was the state of Cornelius. He was submitting unto God. But then let's notice what happens. After Peter preaches the gospel to him, verses 34 through 43. In verse 44, we pick back up and we see while Peter is yet speaking the gospel, he's preached unto him the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, that tells us what the gospel is. In verse 40, we see that the gospel has been preached. Verse 44, while he's yet speaking these things, the Holy Ghost falls upon all of them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, that is, the Hebrew Christians, which believed, were astonished. And as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Well, it's interesting. We can see there in verse 46 that we are given an explanation as to what the gift of the Holy Ghost is. The gift of the Holy Ghost was known. Why? Because they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Cornelius, these Gentiles have received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that's evident to the Hebrew Christians because they're speaking in tongues. They're performing the miraculous. And 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 22 tells us, tongues are a sign to the unbelievers. Well, who's the unbelieving here? The unbelieving would have been the Hebrew Christians, not believing that the Gentiles should be allowed into the church. But God is clearly showing His approval in that tongues are being spoken by the Gentiles, then thereby being a sign to the unbelieving Hebrew Christians who would have never believed the Gentiles would have been acceptable in the sight of God to have had the opportunity to obey the gospel. And that's exactly what's going to happen. Cornelius is going to obey the gospel. Notice, he's not saved and right with God because he received the gift of the Holy Ghost. How do we know that? Because in verse 47 we see Peter asking the question, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Why is Peter commanding such a thing? Well, chapter 11 and verse 14 tells us because Peter was going to tell him words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Well, by the Holy Ghost just falling upon Cornelius, no words are being exchanged there. That wasn't going to be any type of commandment given to Cornelius. Cornelius has yet to receive a commandment until we see verse 47. And then in verse 48, we see the submission taking place. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. This centurion, this man of military valor, was humble enough to obey the gospel, to be baptized into Christ. He did not think he was saved just because he was seeking and just because he was religious. He did not think he was saved just because he saw an angel. He did not think he was saved just because he received the gift of the Holy Ghost. He was saved when he obeyed the gospel and the commandments of Peter, which he was there ready to receive. Verse 33 of chapter 10. Cornelius submitted unto God. And as far as we can see, this is the first account of a Gentile entering in to the church. The first time in which a Gentile, a stranger, one outside of those people of God under the Old Testament, being granted the opportunity to be baptized into Christ, added to the Lord's body. Have you mimicked what Cornelius mimicked here in Acts chapter 10? Have you been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins? Have you been added to the Lord's church? Maybe you're seeking. And maybe you're seeking in that you are indeed behaving and acting in a way that is religious in nature. But that is not what qualifies us as being saved and right with God. Are you willing to move beyond just seeking and walk through that door that God is opening? He's opening that door via the preaching of the gospel, just as it was done by Peter in Acts chapter 10. Do you need to obey the gospel this afternoon? If you are not yet right with God, if you have not yet done so, we hope that you would make the decision to obey the gospel and be baptized into Christ. If you've already obeyed the gospel, do you need to come home? Do you need to be restored to the Lord's body? Do you need the prayers of the congregation? If you have any spiritual need, won't you come forward as all together we stand and sing.